got to give a big shout out. Come on.
My goodness, I just love this church. You guys are family. I'm so blessed to have you all. Like I spent a couple weeks in Florida, and I went to another church there, but I could not wait to get home to my people. I just couldn't wait to get home to my people. I love you guys so much. So thank you so much for coming out tonight and listening to this little girl speak. I know it's, you know, not the funnest thing to do on a Thursday night, but I think it is. Who thinks it is? Who's hungry for the word of God tonight? I am. I totally am. I'm so excited. You know, if I get emotional tonight, I'm sorry. God has been downloading things in me, and I've just been overwhelmed by his presence, by his love for like the last couple months. It's just a great thing. And the message that he has for you tonight, I believe with all my heart that he's going to set somebody free. And I'm not just saying this, it's been confirmed to me at least 5 times today alone from various people that he is going to set somebody free today. And I believe that, and I receive that. God, do your thing. So we pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your son, for all you've given us, God, for just the blessing of your presence. God, I pray that you would be in our midst tonight. God, every word that I speak, may it be divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God. Take me out of the equation, God, that you would stand up here before your people and deliver the message that you have for them. Father, I don't take this lightly, and I just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And Jesus, I pray for every heart here that they would have ears to hear, and God, that their hearts would be open to what you have to say to them. Love you, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you guys tonight about wilderness attitudes. If you can you turn with me to Numbers 13, 26 through 32? Now, I have this thing, and I talk about it. It's another message for another time, but I call it the wilderness training. Now, a lot of people in the Bible, they kind of went through their wilderness trainings, right? John the Baptist, he lived in the wilderness. Moses, the Israelites, Elijah, Jesus, of course, did their wilderness training. God was just downloading things into them that time, and almost all of them came out victorious, except for the Israelites. And I kind of want to hone in on that tonight. The Israelites spent 40 years. Look at your neighbor and say 40 years. 40 years. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. That's so crazy because the journey to the promised land was only 11 days. So 40 years, they're going around and around in the wilderness on a trip that only could have taken them 11 days. And the reason is their attitudes. It's all about the attitudes. Maybe you've heard it said before that it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that'll determine your altitude. I've heard it said too that the only true disability in life is a bad attitude. And these Israelites, they sure nailed it. They had a bad attitude. When I was coming up with this, when I was talking to my daughter about it, she's like, Mom, it's not a bad attitude. It's a bad attitude. So that's what I'm going to call it tonight. It's a bad attitude. So we're going to talk about the Israelites' bad attitude, okay? So they grumbled. These Israelites, they grumbled and they complained about everything. I mean, everything that God did for them, no matter the miracles. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, you know, the miracles that God did. If he did those right here, I would just stand in awe. I'm like, the sea is like parting and I'm walking through it. It's just amazing. But yet they still grumble and complain about him. God, what you gave us, it's just not good enough. God, you know, why can't we have this and this manna? It's just kind of blah. You know, they just grumbled and complained continually over and over and over. Now, God is God and he is patient. How many of you know he's patient? And so he was patient with the Israelites. Way more patient than I would be, because if those were my children, I'd be like, listen, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. So I don't want to hear another word. Just sit and eat your manna. But I'm not God. Jesus, help me be more like you. So he says, okay, you know what? Fine. I'll let you, you know, have 12 spies go spy out the land. Check it out. See what it's really like. So these 12 spies, Moses sent them out, and that's where we're going to pick up here in Numbers. I'm going to read it for you. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, where they reported to them the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. Their cities are fortified, and they're very large. We saw descendants of Anak, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. All these ites were there, and they were looking at them like, man, we can't take this promised land. These ites are way too big, all these ites, right? And I'm thinking about this. How many of us have ites in our life that look way too big to go on to the promised land? Right? We all have these ites. It could be, you know, the not enough money ites. It could be the, you know, grouchy husbandites. It could be the bad bossites, the annoying coworkerites, the naughty kidites, right? We've all got these things that we think are going to keep us from our promised land, that they're going to keep us from the best that God has for us. See, God has a best for you. He has a promised land for you. Jesus came and he died on a cross so we could have a life and life more abundantly, not just life and life. I'm just going to kind of go around and just be the same way. No, he came to give us life and life to the fullest. I want life to the fullest. I want the promise that he has for me. Amen. Who else wants the promise that God has for you? I don't want to spend 40 years going around the same mountain over and over when I could have taken 11 days. They had to get their attitudes right. Now, what stopped them from going into the promised land was their bad attitude, right? I mean, God even said, he said after that, because they were just grumbling and complaining, they were just, you know, they were saying, oh, well, we should just pick a leader and go back to Egypt. Really, people? Like 430 years you spent in Egypt in slavery, and you want to go back there? Instead of going to the promised land because these ites look too big, right? But there was two. Come on. Two spies. Let's keep reading here in verse 30. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. I read that and I was just like, what? Caleb silenced the people. So here they are, you know, duh, 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 oh, God, you didn't do this. Oh, duh, duh, duh. So they're here grumbling and complaining in the midst of that. And I don't, you know, I don't know. This isn't biblical or anything, but I get the picture that Caleb is just this, you know, short little dude. And he just, you know, climbs up on a big rock and whatever he does to get their attention, he's like, hey. And a silence goes through. Because the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions. And I just see Caleb as just this lion up there roaring like, hey, listen, don't you know who God is? Don't you know what he did for us? And this is what he said. We should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it. And then it goes on to say, I'm not going to read that, but Joshua, he said the same thing. He's like, listen, if God is on our side, we can totally take these giants. Who cares what they look like? Who cares what they smell like? Who cares what they act like? We can take them. God is on our side. And so God said, you know, hey, listen, your bad attitudes, I'm not going to let you all go into the promised land. You're not getting there. I've given you 40 years. You haven't gotten it right. So you're going to remain in there. But Caleb and Joshua will see the promised land. Now I want to ask you, is your attitude more like the Israelites? We shouldn't really be surprised. I mean, we can say, oh, the Israelites, man, they had bad attitudes. But in all actuality, we do kind of have those bad attitudes sometimes, don't we? We're not much different than the Israelites. I want to be the Calebs. I want to be the Joshua. I want to make it to the promised land. 2 out of 12 said, God is enough. God is awesome. Look at what he's already done. So I want to know tonight, what is your wilderness attitude? Is it negative? Are you more prone to the grumbling and complaining? God, you know, I just can't do this. I just, you know, it's not good enough and I'll never get anywhere. Nothing good ever happens to me anyway. You know, I'm so depressed. This is bleh. Or Do you want to go to the promised land? Do you want to have that life and life abundantly? Because I know I do. So I want to talk to you about how to get there. See, a bad attitude is always fruit of bad thoughts. You can't think yourself with bad thoughts into a good attitude. It just will not happen. It's impossible. Our thoughts and what we're thinking actually set the course for our lives. We become what we think. In Proverbs 4:23 in the New Century Version, it says, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." See, what we think becomes what's in our heart. And what's in our heart will always become what's out of our mouth. And then what's out of our mouth and what we think and all that, it just becomes our attitude. It becomes our life. So what are you thinking about? Are you thinking positive thoughts? See, when we have positive thoughts, we're going to have a positive life. When we have negative thoughts, we're going to have a negative life. We need to choose our thoughts. Did you know we could choose our thoughts? I didn't. And, you know, even now, I still need this message. I still need that reminder. Hey, Jen, wake up. Look at what you're thinking. You know, if you look at your life and you say, is it positive? Or am I having the negative thoughts? What are you thinking about? In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, it says, "Behold, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." Choose thoughts that are going to give you life. Right? What are you thinking about? Dr. Caroline Leaf. Has anybody ever heard of her? She's awesome. Okay, you guys need to go home and you just jot it down, Dr. Caroline Leaf, and look at what she says, because she's awesome. She's a neuroscientist. She studies the brain inside and out, but she's also a born-again, spirit-filled, believing Christian. And so she says that science is just catching up to the Word of God, that they'll study scriptures and it's actually making sense metaphysically in the brain. I just think that's awesome. Did you know, this is what she says, 87 to 95% of all mental, physical, and emotional illnesses are a result of your thought life. You can think yourself into sickness. You can think yourself into depression. You can think yourself into a bad attitude. You can think yourself into a negative life. You can think yourself into a hole. You can think yourself into hopelessness. What are you thinking about? Okay, turn with me now, if you have your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to read 3 through 6. Okay, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world." Everybody say weapons. "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. For we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ." It is important that we think God thoughts. We think how he thinks. Now, there's a couple things in here that we're going to go over, okay? We got weapons and we got strongholds. See, the enemy sets up strongholds. And I actually looked up the definition of a stronghold. A stronghold is an incorrect thinking pattern that has molded itself to our way of thinking. Incorrect thinking pattern. And the enemy so easily sets up these strongholds in our life, we might not even realize that they're happening. Depression, confusion, anxiety, condemnation, fear, hopelessness, all attacks on the minds, all strongholds that the enemy sets up for us. I went through a lot of strongholds in my life, you know. I don't know, you know, some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I was married prior to my husband now. So I'm proof that God can use people who have messed up. So he's turned my mess into a message and I love it. So God is so good. But my ex was unfaithful to me probably every day of the 8 years that I was married to him. And that set up strongholds in my life. And so I can choose to take these strongholds. You know, he would go to the store for hot dog buns and he'd take literally, not even exaggerating, 3 hours. And I'd say, Where'd you go? Oh, this, that, you know, whatever. But those strongholds have been set up. And so I could take those into my marriage now. And I remember, like, early on in our marriage, I would have, like, a dream. The enemy would just attack, you know, he would just attack. He said, okay, I know how to get to you. I'm going to use those strongholds. So I'd have a dream that, you know, my husband now, and my husband now is amazing. Like, I do not doubt this man's faithfulness. It's awesome. So it's like God, like, scoured the whole earth and said, who's going to be faithful to Jennifer? Who is it? Ha-ha. Andrew Kapika, I got him right there. So, you know, I don't worry about that, but, like, I'll have these dreams or something will happen, and the strongholds will instantly come up to my mind. And, you know, I can think about these lies, like, he's just cheating on me. Why do you think he's doing that? You know, who has he been talking to? What is happening? Those are strongholds. And I can choose to entertain those thoughts, or I can choose to throw them away. Say, that is not going to happen. No, that is not the truth. The truth is he loves me. So I'll get very real with you. I had a dream when my husband cheated on me. And I was like, normally, you know, I would, you know, start thinking about it and conjuring the scheme all in my head, how he's cheating on me, be mad at him for 5 days. And come on, right? I'm not the only one, am I? So, and then, you know, this is like a couple months ago, and I had a dream, and I got up. My husband gets up pretty early, so I got up, and he was having breakfast, and I came over to him, and I was like, hi. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, I had a dream. He's like, baby, I love you. I would never do that to you. And I said, I know. And I went on with my day. Come on. I chose not to think those thoughts. I said, no way. I am not, devil, I am not letting you get me down. I am not letting you get my marriage. There is no way in hell that I am letting you take this. Come on, sometimes, guys, we just need to get a little determination. We need some determination. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind and keep them set. Because we know the enemy's going to come in and things are going to come in and stuff's going to happen. And it's going to be like, all right, maybe I shouldn't think that. Maybe I should, you know, we got to be determined. And we got to let our determination outlast our motivation. Because how many know our motivation will fail? And we need to be determined. Paul said, my determined purpose is to know him. We got to be determined to fight this. It's not going to come easy, but we can do it. We can do it. Depression is a curse in my family. It has gone from generation to generation to generation to the women in my family. My mom suffered from it her whole life. My great-grandmother actually committed suicide because she, as a result of depression. So when I left my home when I was 18 years old, I said, I will never be like that. And I've been determined every single day from there on forth to never let depression enter into my mind. We need to get determined. God wants us to be determined to get our lives right with him, because he wants to take us to the promised land. He wants to take our bad attitude and make it a good attitude. He wants to take our thoughts and he wants to put his thoughts in it. You know, I mean, I'll be the first to admit I've had a messed up mind. But God has came in and he has literally taken everything. And the more I seek him, the better it gets. The more I read, the more I do with Jesus, the better it gets. I want to talk to you about what we were saying before about weapons, right? I said weapons. How many know God gave us a weapon? I love this. He gave us a weapon. All right, this is our weapon. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, it talks about the whole armor of God. And he's like, okay, you got this breastplate and you got this helmet and you got these boots and you got a belt and you got a shield. Yeah, but hey, wait, where's my weapon? Oh yeah, here it is. This is our weapon. This is what we fight with. I dare say that I believe that a lot of the problem facing Christians today, one of the biggest issues, is that we're going into battle unarmed. It's true. Battle in our minds, battle out there, battle in our heart. I mean, we need the Word of God. The Word of God is what is going to fight those thoughts. Because see, Jesus, when he was in his wilderness training, right, what did he do? The enemy came up to him. I mean, he fasted for 40 days and he's like hungry. Like, how many have ever fasted for more than a couple days? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? 40 days? Okay, so you get dizzy. You get nauseous, your breath stinks, you have headaches. I mean, it's just like this whole detox process, and it's crazy. So Jesus, I know that he was feeling the same things if he was human, right? So, you know, the enemy comes to him and said, hey, you know, turn that stone there to bread. And he says, for it is written, every single time man shall not live on food alone, but from the very words that come from the Father. Now, every time he was tempted, he said, it is written. Jesus knew the word of God. He knew it. It's not enough to have a Bible sitting on your shelf at home. You gotta open it up. And you know, I'm gonna say this, and I've checked my heart, and I know it's right. You cannot just read a couple lines every couple weeks and expect to have victory. You can't. You cannot. You need this word. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive, it is active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. We need the word of God. It is so important. The Bible says, and you know, just Sunday mornings and Thursday nights is not enough. We need it. The Bible says to meditate on it. Meditate literally means to roll over and over in your mind, to mutter it. Now, some of us are muttering, but we're not muttering the word of God. It's true. It's really true. I do at home. As my kids are like, what, mom? I was like, oh, I'm just praying. I'm just speaking forth. I got to preach to myself, you know? I got to preach, like, because, you know, I am not naturally inclined to have a positive attitude. I'm just not. So I got to preach to myself. I got to speak the word of God out loud. I mean, I got to look weird. I got to look stupid. People are probably like, that girl's talking to herself all the time. But I don't care. I don't care. I want Jesus more than I want that. I do. I don't care. I want Jesus more than I want somebody to look at me like, hey, you weirdo. Go ahead. I'm weird. You know, it's just the way it is. The Bible says that David meditated on it, the word, day and night. That doesn't seem to me like, you know, just here and there. Some of you may say, well, I don't have time. Okay, I get it. I'm busy too. You know, I've got five kids. Five kids. I don't sleep, you know. My life is crazy, but it's awesome. So I dare say we do have time. Because tell me the last movies you saw, right? You sit there for 2 hours for a movie. Not that that stuff is bad. Tell me how many hours you spend scrolling, right? We have time. You've got time. Open it up. It's not just going to do anything. It's alive and it's active when it's spoken, when you know it, when it's hidden in your heart that you can say, you know, when the enemy comes at you with the thoughts in your mind, you can speak the word of God and say, no, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus. No devil in hell is going to take that from me. Come on, start learning it. Whatever it takes, determination, whatever it takes. You got to get some whatever it takes in you. Get some whatever it takes. We're not just, I love this new song by Toby Mac. It's this is not a test. This is not a test. Life is not a test. There's no practice runs. You don't get another shot at it. Is it? Now's the time. Not later on. Now is the time. We got to get the word in us. We got to let it transform us. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind. Do you know Dr. Caroline Leaf? This is so cool. She actually says that, you know how she said that science is actually keeping up with the word of God? She says that in studies where they've spoken the word of God to people, that it's literally renewed their mind. and you can listen to her and get, she can get all into it, but you've got these like receptors in your mind that when you get a bad thought or you get a bad attitude, they literally die. But when the word of God is spoken, they literally regenerate. Amen? Come on. There's power in the word. He wouldn't give it to us if it wasn't true. Amen. So another way that we can help our thought life is prayer. And I'm not going to get too many amens in that one. But prayer is awesome. It's our way of communicating with the Father. Let me ask you something. If I only talk to my husband on Sunday mornings, let's say, do you think we'd have much of a relationship? Do you think we'd get along? Do you think we'd even want to be around each other? No. Prayer is what we have. It's our communication with the Father. And we need to be in it. I've heard so many times, we just aren't called. I'm just not called to pray. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We are called to pray. Each and every single one of you. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you're not, come see me. I want to get you saved. And then we'll move on from there. But we are called to pray. We are. If you're a Christian, you're called to pray. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 if you don't believe me. 1 Thessalonians. Is that what I said? What did you say? Oh, I don't know what I said. All right. So 1 Thessalonians 16:17 through 18 says, rejoice always. Everybody say, pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the word will of God in you for in Jesus Christ. This is the will of God for your life in Jesus Christ. So that to me says we're called to pray. And I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture. So we're just called to pray. He wants to talk to you. And you know the cool thing, the awesome thing is that he does want to talk to you. He desires it. Sometimes, Ryan was saying it earlier, we just have to ask. Sometimes we just have to ask. He's there. You know, he wants to help us. I know that there's sometimes your mind can just get so messed up. But you know what's awesome? We have this helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually said, hey, you know what? Guys, he's talking to his disciples and he said, it is better that I leave you. Because you're going to have someone who's an advocate, who's going to actually live on the inside of you, who's going to tell you the truth and everything. You have the Holy Spirit. He's living on the inside of us, and we have that access. We just have to ask. See, he's a gentleman. He's only going to come when he's invited. Invite him in. Let him help you. God, I don't have this alone. I don't have the ability to take control of my thoughts and my attitude on my own. I need your help. Test me on that. Because I guarantee you, he will help you. Every single time. He wants to help us in our weakness. He doesn't want to do us alone. He doesn't. He wants us to depend on him. Just like our kids. You know, my I have two babies. They have to depend on me for everything. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to be like little kids. And depending on him. But we gotta talk to him. Sometimes it's hard. I get it. I know. You know, I've been there. I was never a big prayer before. And I just learned to discipline myself and press through those times where it was maybe uncomfortable or annoying and just pray. You know, it's not about your words that you speak. It's about your heart and your connect with the Father. He wants to connect with you. And that's the way we're going to do it. Another way to combat bad thoughts is thankfulness. Thankfulness is awesome. God has been teaching me so much this year about being thankful. As we read here in 1 Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. We all have something to be thankful for. You could be in the absolute worst pit of your life, but you have something to be thankful for. Dig deep. Some of us got to dig deep and, you know, force yourself to be thankful. Can I tell you a story? I got a little time. Okay. So this is my story. No, don't judge me. God taught me something about thankfulness a few months ago, and it was life-changing. So I was talking to somebody, and we were having this thing, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, can I make cookies? And she was like, oh, yeah. And then she didn't just say, like, cookies. Like, she sent me this picture of these elaborate, like, fancy schmancy cookies. Now, I make cookies that taste good. I don't make cookies that are fancy schmancy. That's Jessica Buzniak. So I was like, hey, here's Jess's number. I can't do that. She was like, no, I want you to make them. So, you know, maybe you can just make sugar cookies. I was like, when I heard cookies, I'm thinking I can bang out a dozen cookies in a half an hour. Chocolate chip, peanut butter, whatever, you know. But then she was like, she was like sugar cookies. And I'm thinking, all right. Now, of course, it's never the best time, is it? So we were like having a showing in the house. The kids had a youth event that weekend. I mean, it was crazy in our house. And so here I am, you know, sugar cookies. You gotta make the dough. You gotta chill it. You gotta roll it out. You gotta cut them. You gotta bake them. You gotta let them cool. You gotta make the frosting. You gotta frost them, and you gotta decorate them. Not a half an hour, right? So the whole time I'm making these cookies, I'll admit, I had a bad attitude. I mean, it was just nasty. I'm like grumbling, like, oh, ask me to do this. And as clear as day, God says, try being thankful. And I was like, well, all right. I'm thankful that I can bless somebody. Like, it really is a cool thing. I get to bless somebody. So I'm making these cookies, and I'm like, that's great. I get to bless somebody. What else? Well, you know what? I'm thankful that I have the money to buy these ingredients. Because there was a time when I was a single mom of three kids where I'm talking like I was $400 short each month. I don't know how I did it. It was God. So I did not have the money to just, you know, go out and buy extra ingredients. I was like, God, that's so awesome. You just brought me to this place. And I'm just starting to like preach to myself. I'm like, wow, you're so cool. And then he says, what else? I was like, I mean, I don't know. You know, I guess I'm thankful that I have the ability to cook. I mean, not everybody can cook and bake, and that somebody would even want my cooking. Like, that's pretty cool. And I'm just making these cookies. I got excited. I was like, this is awesome. I get to make these cookies. My attitude totally changed because I was thankful. Right? What? Oh, there you go. Chocolate chip, my favorite. So sometimes we just got to write it down. The kids and I started these thankfulness journals, and it was so cool. Like, we just started writing down things that we were thankful for. And, you know, if you just kept going, like, think about the little things that you're thankful for. Like, my little Anna, she's 5 years old, and she was writing down things like, I'm thankful for my teeth. I'm thankful that I can chew. And it's like, you know, if you really thought about it, guys, we have so much to be thankful for. Thankfulness totally changes your perspective. Some of us just have to dig deep and dig a little deeper, but there's things to be thankful for. Amen? All right, and then really quick here, praise. We got to praise. When we praise him, it just invites him to move more in our lives. His presence, when his presence comes, when we praise him, it's amazing. He is in our midst, and we can't help but change our thinking when we get our praise on. I'll never forget this time, Pastor. I was, you know, going through my ex left me when I was pregnant with my third, and I was talking to Pastor one day on the phone, and I was just, you know, thank God he loves me despite, you know, he's seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. Like, he's seen it all, and he still loves me. So I'm thankful for a pastor that does that. So I was just like, wah, Pastor, wah. And you know what? I don't diminish the fact that there are real situations. I was going through a real situation. My whole world, as I knew it, was falling apart. But I didn't know what God had on the other side. So he says, Jennifer, and his pastor, we were on the phone, so I'm sure if we weren't, he would have gone, Jennifer. Jennifer, I want you to start praising the Lord. Just say it with me. Say, praise the Lord. And I was just like, praise the Lord. He's like, no, Jennifer, say it like you mean it. I was like, praise the Lord. He's like, come on, say it 10 times. And I was like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. He's like, come on, give me some more. And I'm like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So at the end, I'm like, shout. He's like, shout it, praise the Lord. That did so much for me that day. To learning to praise God through our circumstances. It's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be pleasant, but we need to get that determination to steadfast, to stay. Set your mind and keep it set. I'm going to have a positive life. I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm going to get depression out of my life. I'm going to get everything out that is not of you, God, because I want more of Jesus than I want more of the world. Right? Get wanting more of Jesus. I'll never forget the time I had, it was in college, and I had a bad migraine. I used to suffer from migraines really bad. I mean, I'd get sick. It was just awful. It was like debilitating. So I was at college, and, you know, I was telling my friends, like, oh, it was like finals week. And I was like, oh, I got to go home. I just can't even stand it anymore. So I had this well-meaning girlfriend who's very bold. How many of you have one of those very bold, tell it like it is friends? We all need them. We all need them. So she was a tell-it-like-it-is friend. She calls me on my home phone, because there were no cell phones back then. So she calls me on my home phone, and she's like, that was a long time ago. I mean, I'm only 26, so how long ago could it have been? So she calls me, and she's like, Jen, God told me that you need to get up and dance. And I was like, uh-huh. Sure he did. And so I got off the phone with her. She was very persistent, by the way. No, he told me, you get up and dance and he will heal you. All right, well, thank you for the phone call. I love you. Goodbye. So I get off the phone and I'm sitting in my bed and I'm just like, eh, what's it going to hurt? So I go to my CD player. And I put on some praise music, and I'm just like, you know, here's my attitude. Here's my batitude right here. I was like, right? I was like, okay, I'm dancing. Nothing's happening. It hurts so bad. So I swear, as clear as day, God was like, give me your whole heart. I was like, all right. And I'll never forget it. I put on Daryl Evans' Trading My Sorrows. I'm not going to dance, but I got up and I just danced before the Lord. No. See, in my mind, I dance like Aaron Martin, but in my, you know, in the reality, it's like more like Elaine from Seinfeld, you know, so we're not going to go there. So she says, you know, so I just was dancing. Like, I get what David said when he just danced before the Lord, because I just danced. I mean, I put that song on repeat, and I just danced. Man, I was dancing. Thank God nobody could have seen me, but I was dancing in my little old room in college. And I'll never forget it. I, you know, got done, and I was like, oh, thank you, God. You just filled me so much. And then a few, you know, minutes later, I was like, my headache is totally and completely gone. We got to get our praise on. Sometimes you just got to have a dance party, right? Kids and I, we put on the praise music and we just dance like nobody's watching. We got our own trademark moves. It's awesome. But afterwards, you know, that is a cure-all for a bad attitude. You're having a bad day. You just feel like, bleh, put on some praise and start dancing. Right? Now, in closing here, I truly believe that God wants to set somebody free from the torment that they've been having in their minds. Now, I don't take it lightly that there is serious issues, that there is negative thoughts and there is bad attitudes. But here's a question I pose to you today. Do you want to spend 40 years just keep going around the same thing over and over in the wilderness, sparse food, no, not clean water, grumbling and complaining? Or do you want to go to the promised land? Do you want to see the best that God has for you? Do you want the life and life more abundantly that he has for you? I'm telling you, people, it begins up here. It begins in our minds. When your mind is set and it has continued to be set and you keep it set on the things of God, your life will change forever. And what he will do with a life who is willing is amazing. And I believe that for you today. I believe with all my heart that there's somebody here who's struggling and says, Jen, you don't even know what goes on in my mind. I've been battling depression for years. I've been battling these just condemning thoughts over and over every single day. Sometimes we just got to step out of bed in the morning and just say, I'm determined that I'm going to have a good day. Those thoughts come, oh, nothing good's ever going to happen to you. You know, maybe your boss is this or your coworker's this and that dang husband, he's this or that naggy wife, she's this. We got to be determined to say, this is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. There is no weapon formed against me that will prosper. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And today I'm going to go forth and tell people about Jesus. Use me, Lord. I am yours, Lord. There's somebody here today, and I truly believe it with all my heart. And if that is you, I definitely want to pray for you because I believe there's freedom. I believe there's victory on the other side. The Bible says that the truth will set you free. And this is truth. There's freedom here today. I truly believe it. There's freedom here today. All you got to say is, I want it, Lord. And he will help you. He will meet you where you're at. We take these principles and God, it is amazing what he will do with a life who is willing to surrender everything to him. So will you pray with me? And if that's you, if while I'm praying, I just want you to stand up, come down, get down here. I want to pray for you. If that's you. So Father, thank you so much for your word, your truth today, Father, that there is just the power of the word of God, that it goes forth, God, that it does not fall to the wayside, but that it is piercing hearts right now, that it is piercing, penetrating even through the thoughts and attitudes, Father, that as your word says, I thank you for the deliverance that it is here, that it is ready for somebody here today to take. God, I thank you for the freedom that is in Jesus. God, I know that there is somebody here who needs deliverance from a bad attitude, from a wrong mindset. And I believe that you are going to do that today. And we thank you in advance for all that you do. God, you're a good God to us. You are the one who takes beauty, or who takes ashes and makes something beautiful. You are the one who takes broken and hopelessness and makes it alive and free. Jesus, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your spirit. Be with your people today, I pray. In Jesus' name.